Praise God. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew, chapter 1. I want to entitle the message today is When God Came to Us. When God Came to Us. Praise the Lord. He didn't have to, but he chose to. I'm so glad. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, we'll begin there. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the truth of Scripture today. I thank you, Lord, that your infallible word, God, bears out who you are and tells us how you want us to live, and give revelation of what you did for humanity. And I pray, Lord, that you'd bless, God, the ministry of the Word of God today. Help us to learn to receive of you, God. Talk to every heart, every person, God, and deal with the things in our lives, God, that you alone know. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As I just stated, and preachers have a way of repeating things, title is When God Came to Us. It is amazing that God would come down for where we are. There's a scripture in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 1. It says, Oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountains would shake at your presence. Jesus did come down. God did come down to humanity in his Son. As a matter of fact, God became man, God the Son. You don't get me wrong, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but God chose to make Jesus into humanity. And it's expressed in John 1:14, the Word, Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so, God came to us. Amen. And you say, well, it's not that God didn't have anywhere else to go. God has been the Creator from eternity. Something that you and I cannot comprehend is eternity. We will one day. But no telling where all God has been, what all he's done, and what all he's created that we don't even know about. But what he wants us to know, he's revealed in his word. Praise the Lord. And Jesus did come down to humanity. He actually became man. And the prophecy here quoted by Isaiah in 7:14 of Isaiah, it was delivered about 740 years before Christ actually came. And fulfilled to the very detail in the book of Matthew. It shows that God, by his Spirit, spoke through people that he chose to send his word through. And it was about 740 years before Christ. It was in the reign of King Ahaz, not a good king. King Ahaz, he was the king of Judah. But a greater king came, perfect king came, it was Christ, 740 years later. But, you know, we look at the virgin birth of Christ, and I want to focus on that quite a bit this morning as well, because God came down to us through the Virgin Mary. And it's not, Mary is not to be worshipped. She's not greater or than any of us, except that God chose a vessel to send his Son through. And thank God, she's a special person, but she's not to be worshipped, and she's not deity. But we give great respect to her because God chose this young teenage girl to send his Son through. But the virgin birth is necessity to Christianity. Because without the virgin birth, you don't have God with us. And Mary wasn't God, but the Holy Spirit is. And so it would come to the place called Bethlehem that this would happen. But Bethlehem is a place that is distinguished about every other city, or every other city as the birthplace of the hymn whose goings forth have been from of old, even from everlasting. Micah chapter 5, verse 2 tells us that the child that would be born in Bethlehem never began, will never end. His goings forth have been from eternity, years of old. Praise God. And so Bethlehem is special. And when Jesus was born, he heard that King of the Jews was born. And so Herod sent out into all the region of Bethlehem there round about and had all the kids killed from 2 years of age and under. Can you imagine such a thing? Several cities, all kids killed. And he had the authority, Herod did, and yet he had no mercy because he was afraid somebody was going to take the kingdom away from him if there was another king being born. And he sent in all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under. And it's hard to imagine that anybody could be that cruel or that evil. But the devil is absolutely evil. Now I'm sure that Herod has gone on to his eternal place. And if he didn't repent, that would be hell. And I'm sure throughout eternity he'll hear the screams and the plays and the cries for please have mercy throughout the endless ages of what he did. And so I don't have a scripture for that, but that's just speculation because he will be forever separated from God. Did he not turn to the one that he tried to kill and be saved? But this is no doubt that this was Satan's attempt to destroy the work of God to make a way of salvation, deliverance for humanity. Because you see, the devil did not want there to be a plan of salvation. He did not want there to be a cross. He did not want there to be a sacrifice that would atone for the sins of the whole world. He did not want that. So no doubt Satan moved upon Herod to kill all the babies. Perhaps he could kill the Son of God. Of course, it didn't work. And Jesus was taken by his parents to Egypt to fulfill a prophecy where it says that out of Egypt I have called my son. But Joseph had to be visited. He finds out his wife-to-be, not his wife, but his wife-to-be, whom he was engaged to, came up pregnant. She was with child. And the Bible says, he being a just man and not willing to make a public example of her, because by Old Testament law she should have been stoned to death. But he decided to put her away quietly and privately. And so we know that it was difficult for Joseph because he knew there had been no relations between them. But God had to speak to him and did. Amen. In verse 18 it says that she was found with child before they came together of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought on these things, God gave him some revelation. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to your wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Spirit. And under Roman Empire that day, it was not unusual for a young girl to be raped by a Roman soldier, and many people assumed that that would be what happened. But however, God made it very clear to Joseph, that which is going to be birthed as her is a work of God. She's conceived of the Holy Spirit. God used a human vessel to bring Christ through, but the Holy Spirit was involved. God was involved. Praise the Lord. But all humanity hangs upon the virgin birth. Why is that so important? We'll understand that here. And God had to be Jesus' father, or else he would have a sin nature and therefore would be unable to atone for our sin and to give eternal life or to make man heaven ready. There had to be a perfect sacrifice. Man could not sacrifice himself because there is no man anywhere ever that was perfect enough or sinless at all to bring and to make atonement for my sin and yours. It had to be something perfect and someone perfect. And that's why God had to become humanity. for there to be a perfect sacrifice, because there was no lamb or goat in the Old Testament that could completely atone for sin. It just pushed sins forward until the perfect sacrifice could be made, which would be Christ. Okay? And so Jesus was God, but his Father was in heaven, which he spoke about very often. And Jesus was not begotten in eternity in any other way, but he was begotten in humanity, because Jesus never began anywhere except in humanity. He had to be God the Father. Jesus, God was his Father, or else he would have a sin nature. We know that. And none of us would be heaven ready. But in Luke 1:35, it says, "The angel suddenly answered and said to her," to Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, that Holy One who is born to you will be called the Son of God." Can you imagine that? God condescending to humanity and having his Son born through humanity. Because without the virgin birth, there could not be a sinless sacrifice that would hang upon the cross one day. Without the virgin birth of Christ, there would be no sinless Christ. There would be no bread of life. If you know the I Ams in John, without the virgin birth of Christ, there would be no bread of life. And Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." There would be no light of the world, for Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." There would be no vine for the branches, for Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches." There would be no resurrection and there would be no life. No way, no truth, no life. No atonement for sin, no forgiveness, no righteousness, no eternal life, and no heaven if it hadn't been for the virgin birth of Christ. But because he came, I want to tell you, there is hope, and he is the bread of life, which we can partake of by faith and live forever. He is the light of the world, which we can see is the way to salvation. He is the vine, and we are the branches, and we draw strength from him in order to exist spiritually. He is the resurrection and the life. That's the reason death is not the end for the child of God, because if he's been born again of God's Spirit, his body will die, but his spirit will immediately be with the Lord when he dies a physical death. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And there is atonement through sin because Jesus was virgin born and came through perfect. He had perfect blood that would cleanse from sin. God was Jesus' Father. The Pharisees had really real trouble believing that Jesus was God's Son, because to make somebody the son of a person would mean that they were equal with that person. And so time and again, Jesus proved that he was the Son of God, which in the Pharisees' thinking, he was making himself equal with God the Father in heaven. And he was equal with God the Father in heaven. Praise the Lord. And so it was hard for the Pharisees to believe this. They tell me in Islam that they cannot conceive of God having a son. They're thinking in the natural sense. But here in the eternal sense, Christ was the Son of God, is the Son of God. And however, only his blood would come from perfect sinlessness. It would have to be, as explained in 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, precious blood. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold received by tradition, by the vain conduct of your fathers, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. It had to be perfect, sinless blood. If Jesus had been born of natural man, he would have the sin mark in his blood, and he had the tendency to do evil instead of good. And Jesus never sinned. He was perfect and sinless. And so it was precious blood. The meaning here is that the blood of Christ had a value far above silver and gold. It was worth more. The blood of Christ, it would accomplish what silver and gold could never do. The universe had nothing more valuable to offer. And there was nothing as valuable as the Son of God. And Jesus offered his own blood to pay a debt he did not owe. And that is the debt of sin. I know that we're preaching on the birth of Christ, and here I am preaching on the blood, but it's all right. Man. I told myself it's all right. I told you. Years ago, a young man by the name of William Cowper, he was a troubled young man, but he failed in law school. He went to take his final exam in law school, and he lost his mind. I know people that lost their mind over a lot less. But he was confined to an insane asylum. And while he was there, in that place, he began to read in the book of Zechariah. And even in, God can make insane people understand the Word of God. Amen. But there he began to read Ezekiel, or Zechariah. In the 13th chapter, he read, "In that day a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness." And God saved this man, William. He saved him powerfully, and while he was in an insane asylum, he began to find Jesus as his Savior, and he became real that Christ loved him, Christ cared for him, Christ died for him, Christ shed his blood on the cross for him. And so he became a minister of the gospel. Amen. Preached the word of God, became a great songwriter. And you know the song that he wrote called "There is a Fountain Filled with Blood Drawn from Emmanuel's Veins, and sinners being plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains." Wow. God can do so much power, so many powerful things. He can save a person anywhere, regardless of what sins they've committed. Amen. What state of mind they're in, where they're at, or what they've done, God can save to the uttermost. And when Christ was born, he would be fully human, but he'd be fully God at the same time. He may have had to lay aside some of his, not his deity, but some of the things that he could do to operate in a human body. Man. But yet he never ceased to be God when he was virgin born. He grew up like any human being. He would grow up, no doubt, went through the age when everything's cute, and through the age when not anything's cute. And grew into humanity in a human body. Christ did. And the word Jesus here means, it's close to equal with Joshua in the Old Testament, which means God is salvation. But it's far different, you know, because Jesus is one. You know, Joshua was a man, Jesus was a man too, but he was God as well. And so, Jesus means God is salvation, and the word saved today may mean a number of things. I'm glad to be saved today. Yes, we are. But in the humanity, it may mean a lot of things. It may be saved from bankruptcy, if you have been. God bless you. It may be saved from IRS problems. Hopefully. It may be saved from identity theft. There's many human explanations of what being saved means. Let me give you an example here. Thomas Arteaga was passing a home in Fresno, California, when he saw a house engulfed in flames. And he ran and went in the house. I don't suggest you do that, but he did. And there was a 73-year-old man by the name of Robert Wells who couldn't get up. But he threw Robert Wells over his shoulder and walked out with the elderly man on his shoulder. And Wells says he is lucky to be alive and is thankful for the man who saved him. And that's a beautiful story, and I thank God that that happened. But let me tell you, Jesus came to save from a greater fire, an eternal fire, from hell fire, if you want to say that. He came to save people from eternal separation from God. His name shall be called Jesus because he came to save people from their sins. Hallelujah. And God didn't just come to save us from natural things. He does sometimes, and he protects us and he cares for us. And no doubt there's most of us, probably all of us, have been spared from going to physical death, from accidents and tragedy, just by going down the road and seeing another car coming your way 70 miles an hour and you're going 70, 69 so you don't get caught and you keep you from running into each other. And so we've probably been spared many times that we didn't even know about. But Jesus came to save people from their sins, and that's much different. And people and things like money can save us from some natural things, but nothing can purchase redemption. It takes something more than you and I can produce. It saves. Jesus came to save us from the eternal consequences of sin. For the wages of sin is death, And the word death here, it means, yes, physical death, but it means spiritual death too, which is eternal separation from God. Can you imagine spending an eternity with not one kind word of love or compassion or grace or strength, or you're going to make it, or I'm here to encourage you, or here to help you and to pick you up? My friend, that's what hell will be. It will be complete separation from a God who loves and cares and understands. You don't want to go there. You want to go to heaven. You want to be saved. You want to be born again of God's Spirit. You want to be walking the walk and living the life and walking in the light of eternal life. Hallelujah. Jesus came to save from the power of death. In John 10:10, the thief, the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus came to give life. Amen. And no, yes, we all die physically. Amen. I thought that might encourage you. But you don't have to die spiritually. You don't have to die being away and separated from God. To die without God is unthinkable. But the good news is you don't have to. And God came, sent Jesus to give us power over sin, the controlling power of sin. And Jesus had control of his life. He never sinned. He's the only one that never did. And he's the only one who could give eternal life. Because he never had anything that he did that was sin. Did Jesus suffer? Did Jesus have to say no to sin? Yes. The Bible says he was tested, tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. It was not easy, no doubt, to pray for the soldiers that drove nails and spikes into his hands. I'm sure it wasn't easy to look at the people who made fun of him and mocked him, even his own family that we don't have much record of until he was 30 years of age. Man. But he came to deliver from the power of sin, and because he was God with us, born of the Virgin Mary, God became flesh. He's able to deliver us from the rulership of sin. Amen. But Jesus takes resident in the believer. Amen. There's an old saying, and you've heard it before, you know, you hear it on Westerns and things of this nature, where somebody will step out and say publicly, you know, there's a new sheriff in town. Let me tell you something. When you give your heart to Jesus, I wouldn't call him a sheriff, but there's a new ruler, a new king in town or in our heart. And when God saves you, he makes you and turns you into what he wants you to be. It doesn't happen overnight. It's called a process, a lifelong process called sanctification. It's not instantaneous, but sanctification comes, which is separation from evil and devotion to God. And Jesus came to save us. He came to be Emmanuel, God with us. Praise the Lord. He didn't just come here because it would be an exciting thing to do. Jesus didn't come just because to win some political vote. He didn't come here just to be an example of something way out there or some human form. Jesus came to set captives free. He came to deliver the oppressed and the afflicted, and he's done just that when he saved me and you. Hallelujah. So he has authority, rulership over sin. He ruled over sin all of his earthly life here and died a sinless man, was shedding blood that could atone for sins of all humanity. Amen. Does that mean all people are saved? No. It's not a universalism that assumes that everybody will be saved. People who make the choice to turn to Christ and believe in him will be saved. In our text 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So he is Emmanuel, God with us, living among us. If you can imagine, the creator of all humanity came to us. Amen. And no doubt in eternity past, God has created galaxies and planets and universes and eternally existed before the world ever was or before there was such a thing as a human being. Psalm chapter 90 and verse 2, it says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, literally from eternity to eternity, thou art God. And so we see that he never had a beginning. Jesus didn't. Now, his only beginning was in humanity. But before that, he was eternally the eternal Son of God. He never came to be God's Son just through physical birth. Amen. He was the Son of God from eternity past and will be the Son of God forever. Amen. He chose to be God with us. He came to us. Amen. And so in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, meaning Christ here, the Word. And the Word was with God, the Word was God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And it was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You know, it just tells of Christ being the Creator. Here we find the Creator coming to earth. Yet he came through the Virgin Mary, came through supernatural conception. Man. Virgin birth. And he chose to be God with us, and he came to us. And that's still humbling to me. You say, well, preacher, you've been preaching this for a long time. Yes, I have, but I tell you what, it still amazes me at the truth of Scripture and the sinlessness of the Son of God and the virgin birth, and that Mary was conceived of the Holy Spirit and brought forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. That he would come to save you and me, but he did. He saved people that you and I would never have saved. We see people do things that are awful and ungodly and unholy, and we're just not, you know, if I could get a hold of that guy, I'd teach him a lesson or two. Jesus came to save that one. He came to save me. He came to save you. And he grew up and lived for us. And so he's God with us. He's God with us when we walk through threatening things in our life, tragic things in our life, when we receive news that we don't want to receive, when we hear someone closer to our age that died either of an accident or tragedy or died of old age or disease. And let me tell you something, I'm beginning to learn. The older I get, the more I hear of people my age that are entering eternity. Amen. Have a feeling it gets that way the older you get. I don't know. Some of you older people can tell me. No, I'm old too. Okay. But he chose to be God with us. He chose to be God with us when no one else seems to care, love, or express concern. God always loves. God cares. God's always concerned about you. You're not just another person up on this planet of 6 billion or 7 billion people, however many there are. Amen, I lost count. But anyway, I know that God cares, and God cares about you individually. He died for you personally. He took your sin upon himself. He came to us because he loved you. We can put ourselves personally there. When he's there, he's God with us when no one else can understand or offer encouragement. Like King David's said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear evil, for thou art with me. David knew he would not be alone when he walked through the valley of the shadow of death. I was talking to a young man who was painting doing the painting on our sanctuary out here. Not our sanctuary, our fellowship hall. Looks good enough to be a sanctuary. And I don't think he would mind me telling this, but back when the tornadoes came through Canton just year or two ago and tore up a car lot and tore up a lot of things. He and his family were both in a Suburban. They were going down the road, and that happened. It picked their Suburban up and threw it and turned it over numerous times. And when he showed me the picture of that vehicle, I said, nobody could have gotten out of there alive. I went on top of the cab, was crunched down even with the top of the seats. He had his wife and his three kids in that vehicle. Every one of them walked away from that wreck. That is God And his atheist father-in-law was saved and came to faith because of that. I want to tell you, God can just do powerful things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because he's God with us. That doesn't mean, I know people that have lived godly lives that have been killed in car accidents and other accidents. But if it's God's time for you to go, go. Amen. And God is with you. He's Emmanuel, God with us. When the economy falls apart, when health fails, when Democrats and Republicans can't get along, and independence is not the answer. I could have left that out. That's not in my notes. But he is God with us, and you and I cannot afford to be without him. When war, disease, and famine, and we don't know what's going to happen to this world, but when the complete loss of home or loved ones or family happens, I want to tell you, he's still God with us. He hasn't went anywhere. He's here. Amen with you. Let me close with this illustration, short illustration. Years ago, before I was old enough to have much sense, we had a preacher in our church, and he married a woman in our church, and it came a storm, or just a fire happened in his house. It burned up everything he had. He had just newly married. It burned up everything except him and his wife. He was a preacher of the gospel, and he said, I was worried. He said, everything I owned was in that house, but he said, when I got outside, and he had his Bible in his hand, he said, I've got God, I've got my Bible, and I'm going to make it. And he did, and had a successful ministry for many years before God took him home at an older age. I'll tell you, there's nothing that God can't do. God is Emmanuel. He is with us. God is greater. God is more powerful, always present, and will be forever. God with us. My friend, you can't afford to be without God. You can't afford to turn away from God. You must turn to God whenever you have trouble. Don't blame God. Don't blame God for things that happen in your life. Amen. Trust God to walk you through whatever it is. He's greater. He's bigger than you are. He understands better than you and I do. Amen. I'm glad he does. Praise the Lord. All knowledge belongs to him. Praise the Lord.